Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent. We are glad that you are here with us today. Our chalice lighting is from our hymnal, and it's by Albert Schweitzer. At times, our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us. Good morning. I have the perfect remedy for many ailments suffered by all of us. This therapy, which was pioneered in Japan and is now being studied in this country, promises to provide the following benefits. It can reduce depression by triggering the release of serotonin and dopamine, which in turn offsets emotions of envy, resentment, frustration, and regret. It can produce more blood cells that aid the immune system and result in better outcomes after surgery. Based on initial research, it helps in coping with daily stress, and practitioners report fewer headaches. It can reduce post-traumatic distress disorder in soldiers and boost their resilience. It's particularly beneficial to teenagers in reducing envy and depression, boosting self-esteem, and it's correlated with the achievement of higher grades. It improves sleep. Finally, it enhances relationships by increasing a sense of belonging, especially during times of adversity. Sound too good to be true? Wait, there's more. It's available to everyone, despite differences in circumstances. And the best part is, it's absolutely free. What is this miraculous therapy? It's the intentional practice of gratitude. Let us join in a time of prayer. Spirit of love and life, our hearts ache with the challenges we face. This is a time of great anxiety. We're concerned about the volatile condition of the world, injustice in our land, the lack of compassion by our politicians, and violence and drugs on our streets. Indeed, we must be concerned and continue our work for justice. This work is hard, and we need respite to renew our resolve and our spirits. Let us together bring to mind the often overlooked and unacknowledged blessings that fill our day. Blessings such as a dog eagerly greeting us at the door, an unexpected smile from a stranger, the sight of a robin, the harbinger of spring. I invite you, as you are so moved, to speak aloud in a word or two and name a blessing in your life. For all these blessings mentioned and the many unmentioned and those yet to be recognized, we give gratitude for their power of renewal. May we journey forward with eyes wide open to the blessings offered to us by grace and to the blessings that we are.
Hold my hope.
When my sons were little boys in the 1980s, their very favorite movie was Ghostbusters. We watched it so many times that it became a family game to say the lines before the actor did. In 1989, the sequel was released. It didn't live up to the original, but I loved the storyline. The enemy was pink slime, oozing through New York City's abandoned transit tunnels and sewers. The toxic slime affected those nearby by bringing out their worst traits, intolerance and fighting. To combat this destructive force, the Ghostbusters used their traditional weapons, their proton packs, of course. The Ghostbusters tried to save the city from this evil threat, but it was to no avail. Eventually, the Ghostbusters realized that the pink slime was feeding on the negativity of human emotions. The slime caused people to become hateful, and in turn, their hateful behaviors nourished the slime. The Ghostbusters recognized that the only remedy to fight hate was positivity. In the final scene, the streets are filled with thousands of people. Arm in arm, singing together. The evil slime was conquered. My heart is warmed by the idea of an American story that features love as the superhero that saves the day. Sadly, right now, I'm sensing just the opposite. Are you like me, feeling that today there's a toxic slime oozing its way into the hearts of Americans and poisoning us with its hate? Sometimes I am so overwhelmed by the magnitude and momentum of hateful words and actions that I feel helpless in counteracting it. We desperately need our own powerful antidote of positivity. This morning, I bring you good news. We each have this powerful antidote within us, if we just make an effort to release it. The antidote is our sense of gratitude. This next true story illuminates the power of gratitude.
So this story is about John Kralik, a Cleveland native and lawyer who wrote A Simple Act of Gratitude. As 2007 drew to a close, John Kralik was experiencing the greatest hardships of his 53 years. His second marriage had dissolved, his law firm was floundering, he was overweight and out of shape, living in a cramped, hot apartment, and struggling to pay growing personal bills. Kralik states, "I had reached what I viewed as a nadir in my life. While my life seemed full of debts and disasters, I ached for the things and the security I felt I deserved. On January 1st, 2018, as this dissatisfaction pervaded my thoughts, I took a walk in the mountains above Pasadena, where I was inspired to write one thank you note a day for the next year. Over the next year, Kralik decided, he would write a note each day thanking someone in his life for a gift or an act of kindness. He wasn't entirely sure where this project would lead. The result of his plan surprised him. He wrote notes to his children, to his ex-wife, to his ex-girlfriend, to his staff at the law firm, to former colleagues and friends. And he began to receive not only thank you notes in return, but practical solutions to his life's problems. Cash, new business, home repairs, healed relationships. So many other positive outcomes that, within a year, his life had entirely turned around. The act of writing thank you notes and receiving them revealed to Kralik that the life he'd been regretting wasn't so bad after all, and that, with a little perspective, some initiative, and a more open heart, his life could even be great. Kralik explains, "It took a little more than a year, but by the time I had written the 365 thank you notes I had set out to write, my life had been transformed in ways I could not have expected. As I saw how my children, friends, coworkers, acquaintances had blessed my life, and as I acknowledged their impact by writing to them, my blessings seemed to multiply. When I was grateful for clients paying their bills, they paid faster. When I thank lawyers for referring clients to me, they referred more. By showing others how their lives had meaning in mine, I found them reflecting back to me that my life also had meaning in theirs." Kralik's eyes eventually opened in recognition of the many positive encounters he experienced every day through casual interactions with strangers. As the common humanity of strangers was revealed, Kralik started to write thank you letters to strangers who showed a kindness to him. Kralik acknowledges, "I gained an overall sense of peace, a belief that my life was and had been a good one. The change did not happen overnight. The realization emerged around thank you note 260. Almost without intending to do so, I started to change my life in ways that would make me more worthy of receiving thank you notes myself. I was awakened by these experiences, an awakening that could be traced to the willingness to be grateful, in fact, to the grace I received from now having written over 800 thank you notes." Kralik summarizes his experience with this quote by Robert Holden: "The miracle of gratitude is that it shifts your perception to such an extent that it changes the world you see."
For John Kralik, his dedication to the intentional practice of gratitude became a state of being. Once he began to recognize the gifts of grace offered to him by others, he became mindful of the gifts subtly unfolding all around him. His transformation was due in part to a growing awareness of grace and acknowledgement of his gratitude. But Kralik's transformation was also aided by his hormones. In a book titled The Upward Spiral, neuroscientist Alex Korb strongly advocates tapping into the therapeutic power of gratitude as an elixir for the body, both physically and mentally. The benefits included in my call to worship are just a sample of the benefits derived from the practice of gratitude. Dr. Korb's proposition is grounded on many scientific studies demonstrating that gratitude activates areas of the brain that release the hormones dopamine and serotonin. These are the same hormones contained in antidepressant medications. Think about that for a moment. By feeling a positive emotion, our body responds in a positive way. That's not so far-fetched. We recognize that stress triggers harmful bodily reactions. So the reverse makes sense. Positive emotions can prompt positive physiological reactions. The practice of gratitude is an effective and natural way of enhancing our mental and physical well-being. Besides this good news, scientists are also confirming what Eastern religions have long understood, that gratitude is a practice that we can all cultivate. This point is illustrated by John Kralik's story. As his gratitude practice kept expanding, his behavior was reinforced not only by the people he thanked, but also by his brain. Without realizing it, Kralik engaged in the most powerful expression of gratitude of all, acknowledging gratitude with written thank you notes. I like to think of this as empowered gratitude, the act of expressing our gratitude to others. Engaging in empowered gratitude is a meaningful way that we can live our UU faith, which calls on us to be a beacon of love. I can attest to the strength of empowered gratitude. I'm fortunate that I had the opportunity to put in writing my appreciation to my parents. My father was admitted to a hospital with a serious problem while on vacation at a distant location. This sudden onset of a serious health problem startled me and served as a reminder of his mortality. Unable to visit him in the hospital, I responded by writing a letter highlighting how he had positively influenced my life. Years later, my mother was diagnosed with cancer. Because I realized that her time was limited, when I sent her greeting cards, I added personal notes of appreciation for her positive influences upon my life. Going through her possessions after her death, I found every card that I had sent to her during those final years and realized that I had unintentionally created a collection of thank yous that were meaningful enough to my mother that she had kept them. I had some degree of peace when they died, as I felt that I had left nothing unspoken. I'm so grateful that I had invested the relatively small amount of time it took to express my gratitude to my parents in writing. On the other hand, I have friends who have died, and I regret that I never shared with them my gratitude for our friendship. I can't change the past, but I can resolve to do better in the future. It's never too late to extend appreciation even to those who impacted our lives long ago. I illustrate this point with a brief reflection from a blogger named Brett McKay, submitted to the website The Art of Manliness. While with a gathering of friends talking about our life successes, I mentioned how a teacher 30 years earlier had significantly impacted my life. When someone asked if I had ever told her this, I admitted that I hadn't. This realization inspired me to atone for my negligence, and I set out to discover whether she was alive. Finding her address, I sent her a letter. I received this note in response. "My dear, I am now an old lady in my 80s, living alone in a small room, cooking my own meals, lonely and seemingly like the last leaf to fall behind the rest. You'll be interested to know that I taught school for 50 years, and in all that time, yours is the first note of appreciation I ever received. It came on a blue, cold morning, and it cheered my lonely old heart as nothing has cheered me in many years." The expression of gratitude to another has no expiration date. Think about those people who have contributed significantly to your life. Teachers, grandparents, coworkers, friends. They blessed you with their presence. Have you, in turn, given them a gift by sharing with them how much they mean to you? You have the ability to spread positivity. I was inspired by Kralik's book, and I've been writing letters of thanks with a goal of one letter a week. I found that I've become more aware of acts of thoughtfulness, not only those actions specifically directed toward me, but other actions that I simply observe. For example, there's a house in Kent where there's a large cement goose and a small cement duck prominently displayed in the front yard for all to see. I'm guessing that some of you are familiar with this, twosome. These two creatures are dressed in outlandish costumes that change every week. I will sometimes go out of my way just to drive by and check out what they're wearing this week. I appreciate the owner's sense of humor and thoughtfulness in sharing it with others. So I sent a note to the occupants, who I don't know, and thanked them for bringing a smile to me and to others. As another example, in speaking to a Fulbright scholar visiting Kent State from Brazil, I asked him what surprised him about America. He immediately said, "The bus drivers." He was utterly impressed by the fact that the part of bus drivers, without exception, greeted him when he stepped into the bus, offered direct eye contact, and a friendly inquiry about how he was doing. I sent a letter to the PARTA director, conveying my thanks to the bus drivers for imparting a sense of warmth to the bus riders and for conveying a good impression of America. My letter writing practice has been very meaningful. But I've also come to realize that for me, writing letters requires a regular discipline that just doesn't always suit my current lifestyle. So I'm trying to explore other creative ways to show appreciation to others. On my husband's birthday, I wrote down traits and behaviors of his for which I'm very grateful. I wrote each one on an individual slip of paper and placed them in an attractive box. My goal was to think of 52 reasons so that he could open one note of appreciation every week until his next birthday. This gesture meant a great deal to him, and he looked forward to each weekly note with appreciation. You might want to consider this next idea. When having a meal with others, in place of or in addition to saying a prayer of thanksgiving for the meal, take turns sharing aloud what you appreciate about someone else sitting at the table. "John, I really admire all of the volunteer hours that you contribute to the cause that's so important to you." This sure beats arguing about politics. Sadly, the toxic slime is advancing every day. It's tempting to pick up a handful of slime and throw it at the other side. Instead, we could be using our precious energy to spread positivity by lifting up our best selves when we see it in others. Our gestures of gratitude will expand beyond ourselves because we're creating a reinforcing loop. By sharing our gratitude with those who are the source of our appreciation, we're stimulating their emotion of gratitude as well as our own. The people that we thank will in turn be more likely to engage in thoughtful behaviors and express their words of thankfulness, enabling the benefits of gratitude to thrive and spread. In closing, I encourage you to bear in mind these words by psychologist Robert Emmons. "I think it's important to stress that gratitude is really a choice. It doesn't depend upon circumstances or genetic wiring or something that we don't have control over. It really becomes an attitude that we can choose to make life better for ourselves and for others. Gratitude is the best approach to life. For your own benefit, and to counteract our society's current culture of negativity, may we go forward with empowered gratitude, fortified with the goodwill evoked by a simple thank you. Unleash your gratitude."
Once a month in our church, we take up a special collection of money that we donate to a cause. And today, we're doing our special collection that will benefit family and community services. The money will be used to fund security deposits for individuals and families who are moving from local shelters to permanent housing.
I close with these words by American poet and writer William Arthur Ward, who reminds us, "Feeling grateful and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. Go forth and radiate your gratitude. May you walk in peace and love until we gather again.